Midlife Crisis, What It's Like to Be Your Wife. I've titled this audio Midlife Crisis, What It's Like to Be Your Wife. And I've titled it this way because men in collapsing marriages are thinking about everything from their own male perspective. They are remembering everything they did good, everything they didn't do bad, all the bad treatment they received from her, and their thoughts go round and round between that and feeling blame for everything they did or didn't do. You know, when your wife collapses on you, it's easy to become self-absorbed and process everything that you see and do through a you filter. And I'm also introducing you to a book that will help you understand what it's like to be your wife right now. And it's written by a woman named Christine Carter Schaff. The title of her book is Bring It On, with a subtitle that reads, Women Embracing Midlife. It's about a woman's midlife crisis. But what's so great about the book is the perspective is absolutely positive about the subject of midlife. The focus to the woman reader, who is in a midlife crisis, is to look at her midlife crisis as a positive, wonderful opportunity to validate her and make her feel valuable and worthwhile. It's a woman-to-woman book in a way that won't attack her. Well, Christine's book is really two books in one. The first book, within the book, is a positive self-help message of encouragement and positive suggestions. Now, I'm not going to be talking about that book within the book because it's all aimed at women who don't know much about self-help ideas. The second book, within the book, is made up of actual quotes from real women who went through a midlife crisis. Christine found them and interviewed them, and so we have their thoughts, which are the thoughts and the feelings of your wife right now. In other words, Christine is going to help you understand what it's like to be your wife. Now, what I've done is to combine all the comments of these midlife crisis women into a single message, as if it was from your wife. It's going to feel like these women quotes are coming from your own wife in a long conversation, like the two of you might have late at night. So picture the two of you comfortably seated in some place in your house, and her doing all the talking, and you doing all the listening. She's collapsed into a midlife crisis and doesn't really want to admit that she has any responsibility at all for it. All she wants to do is get the blame off herself and put it on somebody else that can absorb that blame. In other words, you. The women I'm quoting from the book are real. They really did feel this way. As you'll see, there is a common thread that women in midlife crisis all share. They have the same self-centered outlook, the same disorientation. Though the book doesn't say it, you're going to clearly see it, and their childhoods are driving everything that happens to them. And after I quote these women, as if they are your wife, I'll join what your wife is saying to you in the context of you being a man who is trying to save the girl. It has very little to do with who she married and everything to do with the home she was raised in. You may want to purchase this book, Bring It On, yourself, for more support for what Christine has created. You'll see she puts the interviews, many of them, into separated boxes sprinkled around the book so these women can be quoted exactly as they explain the point of view. Now, before I get into helping you feel what it's like to be your wife using these real women in a midlife crisis, I would like to make a comment on this book, Bring It On. It has a title that includes an exclamation mark. That exclamation mark is a statement of enthusiasm and certainty, something that women in midlife crisis, well, they just struggle to have that. It appears that midlife is a good thing with the exclamation point. I also tell you that after reading the book, it starts out by appealing to and validating the selfishness of the midlife crisis women. It tells them that they're understood, that they should feel the way they're feeling. But gradually, the book slowly and thoughtfully starts to introduce ideas that convict the girl that there's a better way of handling their current situation than the way they handle it now. Christine was very careful to make this slow conviction gradual so that women readers could accept each point and continue reading as she slowly convicted them that their dark ways were not in their own best interest. What's most important to know is that Christine Carter Schaff went through her own midlife crisis, so she really does understand it. Late in the book, it even leads the woman reader to a spiritual insight that she needs God in her life because this book clearly has a Christian perspective. Now, for those of you who have a relationship with your wife that is semi-constructive, that is, you can actually have conversations with her, you might put this book in a place where she can find it and she might be curious enough to pick it up. Now, not every guy has that possibility, especially when his wife's dark nature is guarding the front gates, as it were. So now, sit back and imagine your wife in the middle of her midlife crisis, sitting across from you, and she's explaining what it's like to be her. Now, as you might expect, I cannot put the specifics of her life your wives, into this message, because I'm addressing this to all married men in general. But just imagine the references she would make to specific painful events that the two of you had, that she experienced with you during the marriage. If your wife actually talks to you, she would be making references to those actual events and how she felt about them. Now, I also want to warn you that this is not easy to hear, even though I'm reading it to you. If you actually heard it from her, it would be hard to hear. You would want to object to all different points, interrupt, represent yourself in what seems like this girl's personal court. But for this exercise, I just want you to temporarily feel what she's feeling and listen to what she's really trying to say, because it's all new to you. And then I'm going to give you my commentary. So let's start this private conversation from her to you and find out what it's like to be your wife. These are the thoughts of any woman in a midlife crisis. She starts out by saying, "I don't know if you know this about me, or even if you know this about women at all, but women are people pleasers who are pulled in multiple directions. To make all the people in their life happy, women have to overlook their own needs. And I, of course, did that too. You know, it wore me down just thinking about what my needs were. But then again, it seems selfish that I, you know, did not want to do that. You know, raising a family, working, struggling to manage both, and wanting to do all the things that I had to do and put off. But I never could plan for what I really wanted, because I had this life, a life that for some reason I was not content with. I believe the truth is that I really lost who I am. But slowly I'm starting to see myself, the person I really want to be, the real me. I wonder what my purpose is. You know, what would give my life meaning? Do I really have a mutually satisfying relationship with you? Is what I'm doing with my time really lining up with my real priorities? Could my work be more gratifying? Could I be expressing myself in a better way, in a different place? What if I really accomplished something that mattered? I settled into this comfortable life that seemed impossible to change, and I started to feel that I had made the wrong choice and I was stuck. Am I really taking care of me? Why don't I just stop cooking and cleaning and just drop everything? Would anybody even notice? I felt lost in an ocean of doing things for everybody else. I was overloaded and burned out. It was time for change. I had to put my energy into finding myself, the person I was meant to be. So I want you to understand, though you don't understand, that I lost my sense of purpose. I didn't have any meaning. I'm getting older, and many times I feel like a stranger to myself. I wake up with this profound feeling of emptiness and a vague sense that something's missing. I'm bored with what I used to be interested in. I am dissatisfied with my relationships and my role in them. I just feel lost. I feel confused. And then we have all these big life events that totally ramp up everything, and I don't have any control of anything. I'm starting to get a sense of urgency that I need to do something now. I can't waste my life. I question whether I made the right decisions to marry you, to have children, to do what I've done in so many circumstances. I really start to believe that I need an identity completely separate from my work, my role as a wife and mother. I feel like I don't have anything left to give. I'm at the bottom. Time's running out. I was living in fear of rejection and fear of loss and fear of failing all at the same time. I had times when I'm just an emotional basket case, crying for no reason, snapping at people, suffering through these long periods of moodiness. I used to be different. I used to be carefree. And all this pressure made me want to shut everything down and become somebody new. New everything, new life, new surroundings, new identity. But then also, I wonder, is that even going to make anything better? I just can't pinpoint what's wrong. And then there's other days where I wonder, what's the problem in the first place? And, you know, there's a part of me that wants something else, and it seems that I get doing something else, and then I don't even think that's really what I want anyway. I start wanting something again, and then I'm never satisfied doing much of anything. I think I'm really trying to come to grips with who I am. I just don't know. The hard part is watching my old self fade away, and a new person is emerging that wants to be heard. My old false self is like holding on. It wants to not let go, like some old comfortable pair of shoes. I know I need to let go and nurture this new me, and I'm trying to do it. And as I look at my relationship with you,
And I just feel angry about how you treated me, didn't hear me. You know, when I needed to be heard most, understood most, I needed you to make my life easier, but you never did. And now at this point in my life, I accept anger as an honest feeling. I accept my feelings must be part of me, and I have to embrace them. You know, for many years, I just buried my feelings because I thought they would bring me all kinds of conflict. And I sometimes wonder why I didn't explode sometimes. And now when these feelings come along that make me feel uncomfortable, I'm starting to examine them. You know, what am I feeling? And I'm learning to accept myself and my feelings. It's this thing about having an identity that I'm only a wife and a mother and I'm never going to be anything else. I'm just going to be a caretaker, like I'm just expendable once my role is done. I don't have a clue what I was feeling other than anger, but now I know that many of the mistakes I made were because of this pain, this deep emotional pain, and I'm trying to forgive myself. I'm trying to transition from mother to whatever I'm supposed to do the rest of my life. I like to have a career, but sometimes I feel like I'm too tired to start out all over in the business world. I'm developing a sense of selfishness as I go on, and I really, well, don't really have any guilt about it, finally. You know, the kids are older. I'm focusing on me. And so I'm alternating between supreme confidence in one moment and then what the heck am I doing in another. And I look at you one day, and all I have is these demanding expectations. Then I look at you another day, and I don't even know who you are. And I don't really care. You probably notice that I'm starting to make changes that feel good to me. These changes are good because they're not boxing me into that tiny little life that you and the kids and the expectations of everyone turned me into. I felt like I was suffocating. If other people can do this, so can I. It really seems like I relied on you and other people to control everything for me. I want to become financially in charge of my destiny. I want to start having a voice that you and everybody else never let me have, because no one seems to hear who I was and what I wanted to be. Why not insisting on taking control of my own life before I lose it, become nothing at all? Maybe this new life of mine is my second adolescence, you know, like my teen years. It's time to experiment, try new things, new people, new ideas. I'm reshaping the vision of myself. Now's the time to find out what fits me. I want to pamper myself without feeling guilty. I want to do what I want to do at the moment. And when I do it, I intend to feel good and feel good about everything I do, not dragging around all these insinuations that something's wrong with me because I'm, you know, not performing to other people's expectations. Somehow, I am going to feel special and confident about myself. I neglected myself for so long that I could no longer breathe at times. I think it's necessary for me to be self-centered. I will never get to where I need to be if I continue to ignore my needs and live in denial. I've been doing a lot of reading, and I read that when you connect with yourself as a woman, you discover your true self that guides your actions for the rest of your life. I needed to wake up from a deep sleep of just drifting through life and doing everything that was expected of me. And now I want and I need to listen to my true self, and I finally have the drive to act on what I'm hearing. I'm going to be an active participant in my life that I choose. I need to identify and eliminate what's draining. You know, I believe I need to focus more on myself as I'm getting older. I don't think it's a selfish thing. I think it's a necessary for survival. Yeah, survival. I tell you this, it feels good to pursue my own goals. I'm starting to realize that every woman wants someone to listen to her, offer a safe environment, and you wouldn't and couldn't do that. I needed to express my feelings to someone who receives them in a safe way. You couldn't do that for me either. It was like expressing myself to a wall of concrete with you, sometimes worse than concrete. I'm finding I need to forgive myself for not understanding my own importance, not communicating with my parents when I left home in the way I should have. I need to forgive myself for avoiding relationships that I really should have been developing during this long, deep sleep which became my marriage, and the isolation that came from pretending that I was independent. I'm forgiving myself for the years of denying my own feelings and avoiding getting to know who I really am. I've tried to take on good traits of other people, but I think it's necessary to, you know, delete relationships that stand in the way of becoming who I need to be. Certain relationships might have been valuable at one time, but they no longer hold any value for me now. I don't want to waste time with people that don't energize me. Negative drains my energy. Somebody's going through a difficult time, you know, that's one thing. But when I realize that somebody like you is never going to change, I'm not doing either of us a favor by hanging on. I've also started to realize I can't expect my husband to fulfill all my needs. What brought me to this point with you, I can't pinpoint one incident. But whatever I needed most from you, I finally managed to realize you can't give it to me. I'm no longer looking for a man to give my life meaning in order to define me. I can't rely on a man to give me what I deeply want and need. I need to give that gift to myself. I was saying this earlier, but I think it needs to be repeated. I've always wanted to do something with my life, but anything I did always had to come after you and the kids. I put everyone else first. And even when I do that, even when I try to do what I want, I end up feeling guilty, and it's so frustrating. I'm tired of trying to make everybody else happy and take care of everybody else's needs. And by the time you would come home wanting attention, I'm exhausted. There's nothing left for me. Even when you try to, you seem like a fixture out of place in the house. Your heart's not in it. You have your own agenda, and that agenda was never me. One time I was thinking, you know, why doesn't our relationship feel like it did in the beginning? Well, I know it's because we got into this routine and took each other for granted. This is a marriage that fell asleep. And you didn't wake up, so I woke up. I didn't really know who you became, but I no longer am sitting around waiting for you to fulfill me.
You know, I experienced a crush that was so strong it just knocked my socks off. The chemistry was so strong it scared me because I was totally unprepared for anything like it. I was so surprised at how powerful a reaction I had to another man for no apparent reason, and this attraction brought up a lot of buried issues. The beginning of a wild ride for me. So I'm lusting after one man and married to another. It began making me question whether I even loved you at all because you couldn't compete with my new crush. Naturally, I started to wonder about what a whole new lifestyle would create for me. I needed to be happy with myself. And if I could have figured that out with you, I would have done it by now. And that's why I'm putting distance between you and me. I need to find out who I am, and I need to like who I find. And I'm getting older, and it isn't doing me any good. You know, I lost all feelings for you, and it took almost all my strength to even look at you. And you didn't even notice. And, okay, I'm not proud of the things I've done, but I'm learning about myself. Being around another man who looks at me completely in a different way has given me a perspective I've never had with you. It's a fresh new look at how another man sees me. It's refreshing, and it really gives me a new perspective and how I feel about myself. So I'm trying to help you understand that I was locked in a prison of routine, a life passing me by, and I didn't want to miss it. And I know I'm repeating myself, but I was wondering if I was even desirable to another man. And I started fantasizing about men I met and whether they were available and flirting with them thinking about going to bars and listening to songs, country songs about being unfaithful and searching affairs on the web. I'm creating fun, excitement, adventure. I never had it with you. Yeah, okay, I'm looking out for my own pleasures after all these years of this suffocating routine. But it made me ask, what's in it for me? Where's my fun? I deserve to be treated better because I need to feel alive again. And feeling alive is not something you've ever given me.
Okay, there you have it. That's what it's like to be your wife, minus any specifics unique to the two of you in your history together. Now, as you listen to this, you had to be feeling thoughts like, what is wrong with you? Why are you constantly obsessing over who you really are? You are who you are. What do you need to know? And by the way, aren't I enough for you? I love you for crying out loud. I've been with you all these years. What's the matter with you? That's what you'd want to be saying. But by saying that very thing, you would not really feel what she's feeling. The reason she's saying all of this to you is because her childhood, that time of hers to be completely selfish, was stolen from her. Her troubled parents could not give her what every child needs. Every child needs to feel safe and happy. A relationship between a mom and dad, you know, that is happy. But your girl, she didn't see that. Every child needs for mom and dad to make her feel important and valuable. Your girl didn't get that. You're now listening to the result of their work. When a child is not allowed to be selfish and live for 10 years in a complete receiving mode. The truth is, looking at this intense selfishness explained by an adult is pretty ugly.
But now is not the time to identify ugliness as if it was a goal. Now is the time to accept that she feels this way. It's not completely the result of what you did or did not do. It's the result of what happened to her in her childhood. And this is why I don't want you to forget the stories that you learned about her first 10 years. She is being forced to live that all over again. And this time, she's being told that she has the power to make it wonderful. But the truth is, she does not. It's because her childhood pain is driving her away from everything that matters. And what does matter? Her children are human beings that she made, and they matter. Her husband, who committed to her, matters. Her value as a human being matters. Christine's book, Bring It On, gradually makes those points to the woman reader, but it doesn't mean your wife is going to be willing to read these pages of that message. Since you're the man, your brain is racing to, what can I do about this? What can I do to fix it? If you've been searching everywhere for an answer on how to bring your wife back to some semblance of normal, this midlife crisis message has your interest because you sense this is right. So if you want to do something instructive, here's two words that you need to stay aware of. These two words contain a force that can drive her away further and faster than anything else. Those two words are against energy. Against energy. I hope you understand that your wife is not the girl you married because she is too selfish to be. She is too obsessed with the wrong ideas to be. She is too controlled by her pain-filled childhood to be. But you are the hero in the story. You don't have to wait around for things to happen. You are not sitting around waiting for situations to change. Instead, make sure you do not create against energy. Everyone loves against energy, and that's because they love to be against everything they don't like. It makes them feel proud. It makes them feel special. People all around you, your family, your friends, coworkers, they all love to identify what's wrong and then be against it. That is against energy. It is the energy you put into being against things. Things like, I'm against the other team. I'm against that neighbor. I'm against my brother. I'm against my angry mother. I don't like the way my father talks down to me, and so on. That's against energy. Against energy is the source of every single pain ever experienced by any human being. Human beings will never know this, because against energy is like asking a fish to look at water. A fish can't see water because it's everywhere. A human cannot see against energy because they are swimming in it. The opposite of against energy is acceptance. So to keep this simple, you will either be against something regarding your wife, or you will be accepting something regarding your wife. There is a battle within you to generate against energy, even though you know it will make everything worse. You don't have to say a word or do anything at all. Just be against something regarding her, and that energy, that against energy, will come out of you and she will feel it. Without any words exchanged, she will be more against you than ever. It was against energy that got you into this mess, but you had no idea because against energy is everywhere. Now, I'm asking you to become aware of against energy in all its different forms. You can be against being accused of things you didn't do. You can be against things that she is trying to make you feel guilty for. You can be against her attitude, against her tone of voice, against her leaving, against her divorce, against trying to protect the children, how they're going to be affected, being against the financial loss, and on it goes. Like everyone around you, you believe that being against solves problems, but it never has. Not for centuries. For example, fear is against energy. That's because when you fear, you are against the loss of something you fear to lose. Fear never brings you safety. Fear never brings you what you want. Instead, it brings you the very thing you fear. That's how against energy works. It brings you more of what you are against. Every negative word in the English language contains against energy. Every positive word in the English language does not. For example, acceptance, calm, encouragement, supportive, enjoyment, gratitude, forgiveness, and many others, they all remove against energy. If you want to reduce the energy of your wife's midlife crisis, then focus on the positive words. In fact, make a list of them, carry them around with you, and read them. Because just the act of reading those words will help you generate the energy of the positive words, which is the opposite of against energy. Those words generate acceptance. You must generate good momentum with these words within yourself. And remember, the good momentum is completely within your control, and no one can take good energy away from you. If you are a student of my Environment Changer course, you already know about against energy and how to remove it permanently out of your life. But if you are not in my course, then focus on these positive words and get them into your vocabulary. Eliminate saying or writing any negative word, because against energy will instantly be created, regardless of whether you think the word, write the word, or say the word. It's all against energy. Against energy will keep your wife in the midlife crisis much longer than she needs to be. So focus on thinking, writing, saying positive words, because these words create positive energy, and positive energy generates the opposite of against energy. It generates acceptance, which is something your wife needs a great deal of. This will go a long way towards understanding what it's like to be your wife, and also give you a sense of what she needs most from you right now. I'm Larry Bellotta.